All right, Revelation chapter 8 this morning. So Revelation chapter 8, so this morning looking at the seventh seal that introduces the seven trumpets. This is the last seal that Jesus opens, and then there'll be seven angels that will come before the throne of God with their trumpets, and they will begin to sound them one after another. Let's go ahead and read Revelation chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar, cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, the third part of the star, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." Things are just starting to intensify, and they just get worse from here on out. We saw six seals that were opened, the devastation that would come with those six seals. This seventh seal ushers in the seven trumpets. But just notice what the angel says in verse 13. He's saying, he's warning that the rest to come is going to be worse. That's why he says, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." So there's three woes that are coming by the three angels that are going to sound the last three trumpets. And it just gets worse and worse. Again, we think our world is bad now. We think it's wicked. We think it's evil. But during the tribulation, when the Antichrist is in rule, when he's reigning and ruling over this world, it's going to be like no one has ever seen before. Again, it's going to be worse than the Holocaust, worse than anything that in our history, in world history, that we've ever experienced before. But again, it's all the judgment of God coming upon the earth because of sin, because of people rejecting the Lord, because of the devil turning people against God and against Christ. And again, he doesn't care about anybody. He only cares about bringing as many people as he can to hell with him, because he already knows that he's defeated, but he's deceiving nations and will continue to deceive nations until his final judgment. And there's some things I want to show you, because again, in America, we only see what the news media puts out there. And there's a lot of things the news media doesn't report on because they don't want Americans to know it. But I want you to look at Revelation chapter 13 real quick before we get into the trumpets. Would you look at Revelation chapter 13? And let's see. And if you look at now my eyes are failing me. Hold on, where is it at? I can't paraphrase because it's got to go along with the picture I'm about to show you. I think it was 9. That was 13. All right, let's just start reading. Let's see. Look at verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. You know what? Back up a little further. I just found it. Duh. Look at verse number 1. I got a lot of stuff because I got things I want to talk to you about, things I want to show you, things that we're going to read here in a minute. But all right, verse 1. And I stood, this is John speaking, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now remember, when Revelation talks about a beast or something coming up out of the sea, it's speaking about the world. The waters are of reference to the world. The world is unstable, all right, all this. Verse 2, and the beast which I saw, now listen, the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, who's the dragon? Satan. The dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. When you look at this picture, what does that look like? And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. That kind of somewhat looks like, and there's another place that describes it as well, but when you think about this is, do you know where this statue is? It's in New York City. It's in front of the UN building. Why is it if the world discredits the Bible, discredits God, discredits Jesus Christ, why would they use things that the Bible talks about? Huh? I'm sorry. I did, but I didn't write it down. But if you Google the UN statues, that'll come up, because this is the European Parliament. It's kind of a weird looking building, but guess what the architecture. It's designed after the Tower of Babel. They specifically designed it after, because what happened to the Tower of Babel? They didn't finish constructing it. You read the Old Testament, God confounded their languages, right? Gave them all the different languages. And guess what statue is outside this building? Revelation talks about a woman riding a beast. So if the world does not believe, and the world teaches, you know, there is no God, there is no Jesus Christ, Christianity is all a fake, why do they use all the things that the Bible describes? Because the devil knows, and he's behind it. The devil's all about taking over the world. He is the Antichrist, all right? Now, going back to Revelation chapter 8, you know what? One more thing. Yeah, this isn't going to come up. I'll have to show you on my iPad. There's two things, because last week I was telling you about the AI robots that they're making that look really human-like, all right? And China is one that really has an edge on this. Now, does she look human? I mean, she's not. Notice the blinking light on her temple.
Could you tell us a little about yourself and what you can do, Chloe?
Of course. I'm the first personal assistant built by CyberLife. I take care of most everyday tasks, like cooking, housework, or managing your appointments, for example.
And I understand you're the first android to have passed the Turing test. Could you tell us a little more about that?
I really didn't do much, you know. I just spoke.
Turing test is they took her around world and no one could tell she was a robot. But listen to what she says.
Humans to see if they could tell the difference between me and a real person. It was a really interesting experience.
But this is the first time in history that man has created a machine more intelligent than himself. I gather your brain can perform several billion operations per second, is that right?
Absolutely. But I only exist thanks to the intelligence of the humans who designed me. And you know, they have something I could never have.
Listen. I mean, this is what they're creating. And this is, remember, because, and I'm kind of jumping around, we'll end up getting back into this as we get to the chapters. But remember, it says of the Antichrist that he's not even lured by women. Women have no effect on him. Think about an AI robot. Just even, They're so intelligent, yet so intelligent it knows one thing I don't have that a human has, a soul. And I kind of touched on the fact that it's possible, not that it is, but it's possible that when the Antichrist takes over, because remember, somebody is killed. The Bible talks about the beast being wounded in his head and then coming to life again. It's possible. It could be a real human, absolutely. But again, the devil can't give life. Only Jesus Christ gives life. So it's, but he's, the devil always does the counterfeit. He does the opposite, right? So it's possible that it is an android, it's an AI robot that the devil actually goes into because it has no soul. All right. Now, again, you know, that might be far-fetched, but again, we don't know exactly, all right? Revelation, we're not here for this. We're raptured out. We're not here for these events. But things that are happening in the world now, it's all ushering towards it. Think about the one world currency, the mark of the beast, right? But what are they talking about now? The digital currency, right? And everyone's going to have it. Well, guess what they do with the digital currency? They can shut you off or turn you on, right? Oh, you're a Christian. You're a Republican. You believe in Christ or whatever. They can just make your money disappear because they're in control of it. But The little coin that they're talking about, that's not the mark of the beast, because the mark of the beast goes in the right hand or the forehead. But it's a precursor, right? It's a warm-up to what's coming, okay? Now, I mean, just everything that's going on in the world right now, even with this, just to create something like that, and it fools people. Now, obviously, I mean, did you catch the blinking on the temple? Okay. But they could easily probably, you know, see, okay, that's a faulty thing. Let's move it back behind the hairline so nobody can see it. But again, people were fooled by her. I mean, you had to look really hard to, man, is that real or not? All right. And when they did the close-up and you could see her teeth, you could see, well, okay, they're not real because there's black lines in between the teeth. All right. But it's kind of weird. But again, when you read the things in Revelation, the things to come, I mean, this world is going to be a worse of a mess than what it is now when the Antichrist is in full control. And I don't want to waste a lot of time with videos and stuff, but I want to show you one more because we talked about, I brought up the fact that when you look up in the sky and you see the planes that are going and the trail behind them, the trail behind the planes that's not disappearing, a jet stream disappears. But the stream that you are seeing now that's left behind, you know, that's not natural, all right? So just bear with me, please. This guy goes into full detail and shows videos of people admitting what it is. You see all those lines? This is in Missouri. But if you look up in our sky, every week it's happening. Oops. Come on. Stop. Oh, goose. All right. Aerial delivery system. In one aspect of the aerial delivery system, the fluid and or material is selected from at least one of a water, gel, powder, decontamination compound, weather modification compound, oil spill treatment compound, firefighting compound. I mean, I don't know if you've heard, they talk about seeding the clouds to control the weather. And whether you know it or not, but China did it for the last Olympics. Trying to keep it from raining so there was no rain during the Olympics. What was it you said? Yeah, he's a big contributor because he's the richest man in the world. I mean, he's the one that gives the most donations to the World Health Organization, to the UN, to what's that other group? World Economic Forum, and all those. And he's a big friend of China, too. I mean, this is just information, all right? Because, I mean, we should know what's going on in our world. And the devil's behind every bit of it. So this is just explaining the aircrafts, and it's just normal aircrafts. I'm sorry, I forget her name, but she's with the Massachusetts School of Law, and she is going to tell exactly what's going on and even mentions China already doing it.
Various chemicals to produce rain. China was just doing this over the summer in Beijing to make sure that there weren't any rain, that there wasn't any rain during the Olympics. But all this has changed dramatically with U.S. military secretive research and plans to control the planet's natural weather. This has not been given very much press, and we have to remember that we are a corporate-owned press where 85% of radio, television, and print media is owned by five corporations. So they're not going to talk about things that are of really serious consequence.
Of course not.
Is on record as saying, quote, they want to control
Anyway. Great for commercials.
We have two different kinds.
Apologize for that. I won't play the entire video. It goes on for a while, but just maybe a minute. And these are those chemical trails that she's talking about. And there's actually a plane right there. So, like I said, I mean, it's, you can Google it and find it. That's why she says, kind of the blessing of the internet. You're not going to see it on the nightly news, but, you know, if you're keeping up with just the world changes, things that are going on in our world, I mean, they're trying to control the weather, but who's in control? God's in control. And when you mess with what God's created, it brings destruction because you can't control it, but man thinks that they can control the weather. They think that they can change a person's gender. God created male and female, right? But, I mean, you hear the reports of the transgenders that have mental issues. I mean, just, again, the girl that was a transgender went into the Christian school shooting up kids and stuff. She had mental issues because just people, there are young teenagers and kids that do, they have mental issues they need help with. They're struggling in life, but what's being forced upon them is not help, but here, let's change your gender and you'll be okay, and it makes it worse. So anything that man tries to change that God has created always causes a problem. Now, with them trying to do this, you know, it's probably going to play into the end times of just how the weather changes and how things, you can't grow crops and all that, you know. But right now, I mean, what they're spraying up in the air, it's got to come down. I guess who is coming down on? It's coming down on us, right? So again, I mean, it's not things to freak people out about or to cause people to fear, because God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a love, power, and a sound mind. But he's given us wisdom, right? Wisdom to just know, you know what? It hasn't been like this before. And just as things continue to progress and we're getting closer to the return of Christ, which I believe we are close to it, I can't put a date. I can't put, you know, how many months or years, but you just look at everything that's happening, and we're getting really close, especially when you listen to the news and how the Middle East countries are banding together now. I mean, China and Russia, who are enemies, but now they've banded together like brothers. Why? Because it's all part of the Gog and Magog war that's going to come against Israel in the last days. So just everything is coming into play. Again, it could be another 50 years. Who knows, right? But for the Christian, for the Bible-believing Christian who knows Christ as their Savior, it's kind of exciting. Kind of exciting, but at the same time for a father who still has little kids, it's like, what's it going to be like if the Lord tarries when they're in their 20s? And I feel bad because it's going to be worse than what it is now, right? And that puts a lot of stress on a father and on a mother to prepare their children for what it could be like. But you know what? God's given us his word, and he's never failed. He's been faithful from the beginning, right? We just have to seek him with all of our heart. So just interesting things to know about, all right? But back to Revelation chapter 8. And again, here it is, the seventh seal that Jesus opens. Notice verse 1, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Very interesting. For 30 minutes. Now, I kind of take the Bible for its word. It says half an hour. I was listening to somebody yesterday on their take on verse 1, and he was explaining, and I don't remember how he came up with it, but he was explaining that the half hour is actually 21 years. I'm thinking, I don't see how you get that. So you're telling me when Jesus opens this seal, there's 21 years before the seven angels stand before God and before the first trumpet? Because all of this is taking place where? In the tribulation. The tribulation is only 7 years long. So the Bible says half an hour. So for 30 minutes, there's silence. Angels aren't praising God. The elders aren't casting their crowns down. The four beasts that are around the throne, they're not worshiping. There's silence. And the only thing that you can really come to a conclusion on, there's silence because there's more devastation that's coming. I mean, there's been some things up to this point, the six seals being opened and the four horse riders going out and all that, the Antichrist coming on the scene. But now, with this seventh seal, again, ushers in the seven trumpets that bring devastation onto this world, into this world, and it's globally. So again, the Lamb opening the seventh and final seal, silence in heaven for 30 minutes. And then verse number 2, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. All right, so seven angels are standing before God. They're given seven trumpets, and each one at their appropriate time will sound their trumpet that will usher in some wrath of God, some judgment of God upon the earth. But notice, though, before the first trumpet, verse 3 and 4 speak about the prayers of the saints, the prayers of God's people. So notice, another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. I mean, just why is that significant? Why is that? Here are the seven angels standing before God. They're given their trumpets. But before the first one blows a trumpet, God shows us the saints. And not just the saints, but all saints. Notice it says, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints. Old Testament, New Testament, tribulation saints, the saints that die during the tribulation, they're saved during the tribulation, die during the tribulation a martyr's death because they will not take the mark of the beast. Because when you go back to chapter 5 and verse 8. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8. Verse number 8 says, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints." So there's these vials, the prayers of saints. So every prayer that any of God's people have ever offered up, they're in a bottle. He's got them. Because have you ever had a time where you felt like God just wasn't hearing you? It just felt like your prayer wasn't going past the ceiling? And you may have cried about something, prayed about it, and maybe you just never saw the answer come. Have you ever prayed that God would judge your enemy? You ever asked God to protect you and avenge you of someone who was wrongly doing you wrong? And it just seemed, it never came. It seemed like they just got off the hook and just kept doing whatever. Think about all through the ages of God's people, the saints, dying martyrs' death. Think about Stephen in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 7. Stephen being stoned to death for his faith. And what did he do? He looked up and said, "I see heaven opened. I see the Son of God, the Son of Man, standing on the right hand of the Father." And he said, "Lord, forgive them." He asked for forgiveness for those that were doing him wrong. But guess what? Their judgment's coming. The judgment of all who reject Christ and follow the devil, their judgment's coming. Those that die during the tribulation, having put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, their death is not in vain. Nobody's death is in vain who's a follower of Christ. God is a righteous judge, and he will judge the world for the death of his saints. When you look at, go back to Revelation chapter, go forward to Revelation 6. You're in Revelation 5. Look at Revelation 6, verse 9 through 11. Again, the prayers of the saints. As we read in chapter 8, you'll see the prayers that are in that censer, because that angel takes fire off the altar, puts it into that container, and throws it down to the earth. And then the judgments come. God hears the prayers of his saints. He sees the death of his saints. The Bible says the death of a saint is precious in the eyes of the Lord, right? Someone who dies for their faith, they're not dying in vain. God sees it. God will recompense it. God is the avenger. Now, in Revelation 6, you look at verse 9 through 11, the Bible says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, Jesus, I, John, saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they, the souls of them that were martyred, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were, dying the martyr's death, should be fulfilled." All right, so when you go back to Revelation 8, it's important because, again, God is the righteous judge. He is a God of order, and he hears the prayers of the saints. This angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Look at verse 5. The angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. So four things happen when that censer is filled with the fire off the altar that is mixed with, all right, is mixed with the prayers of the saints, all right? Judgment is coming. God answering the prayers of his saints with wrath upon the earth, okay? Judgment's coming. Again, nobody dies in vain who dies for their faith, all right? God recompenses righteous judgment to the wickedness of men on this earth. Now, I mean, you can't really explain, I mean, who were the voices? Because it says once that censer was cast into the earth by the angel, there were voices. John heard voices. All right? I mean, we can guess, we can have, you know, conversation, you know, what the voices are, but we have no idea. Probably voices of those on the earth who are being judged, because you read on, and all the judgment comes upon this earth, people are in torment. They can't buy food. They can't grow food. Talked about the possibility of just all-out nuclear war attack all over the world, all the nations that have nuclear bombs and stuff, just sending them off because everybody wants to be in control, and Antichrist brings peace. But again, just the devastation, things that are happening, all right? The voices, those that are being judged, thunderings, lightnings. I mean, when you read the Old Testament, thunderings and lightnings always portrayed the Lord's power and who God is. You think God, who is almighty, Man thinks that they can outsmart God and outdo God because they've believed a lie from the devil, from Lucifer, from Satan, the accuser of the brethren. Follow me, right? Follow me, I'll give you life. No, Jesus said the thief came but to steal, kill, and destroy. All right? So again, there's voices, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. All right? And we talked about earthquakes because we've seen earthquakes in one of the seals before. Again, it's a global earthquake. It's not just a San Francisco-type earthquake. All the things that are happening with these trumpets, it's globally. It's a global judgment that is coming upon this earth from the righteous judge. So these things are happening. Again, who are the voices? We're not sure, but there's thunderings, lightnings. I mean, we've heard thunder, right? Here in Michigan, the thunder isn't all that awesome, but where I grew up in Mississippi, when it thundered, it shook your house. I mean, it even shook you when it would thunder, all right? And just the flash of lightnings. And has anybody in here ever been in an earthquake? I never have, but I mean, it's you know, kind of, I've heard it's kind of real scary because, I mean, the ground is trembling under you, and you know, if you're in a bit shaking and stuff. Huh? Yeah. Tornadoes I've been in living in Mississippi. thankfully, never had my, you know, house destroyed. Not good. Not good. But, you know, we kind of talked about when God does an earthquake. It's a global earthquake. And I try to kind of give you the picture of those little glass globes that you turn upside down. And it has the little snowflakes on the inside that if you picture God just holding the globe, our earth, and just shaking it. I mean, you just think about, these are not going to be just normal earthquakes, 7.4, 7.5. I mean, these are going to be like off the scale, like you've never experienced before. Why? Because the judgment of God is falling. And even though the judgment of God falls, the Bible tells us men still don't repent. Men still don't turn to the Lord. As we were talking earlier, during the millennium, during the thousand-year reign of Christ, 1,000 years, and there are still going to be people at the end of that 1,000 years still join up with Satan to fight against Christ. It's like 1,000 years of proof that God's people were right. This is our God, right? 1,000 years of peace, 1,000 years of worshiping. But believe me, Revelation does talk about there will be some that will not come to worship Christ. It's just amazing. Why? Because it's sin. Sin in man's heart. It's wickedness. Even though you're going to be faced with the truth, you're still going to deny it, just as in the days when Christ was walking on this earth. How could the Pharisees, well, they never could. They said, we can't deny the miracles he's doing, but they hated Jesus so much, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill him so bad because they rejected him. They couldn't deny his miracles. They couldn't deny Lazarus being raised from the dead. I mean, here's a man who'd been in the grave for 4 days. Jesus comes along, tells him to roll the stone away, and he just cries out, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says that Lazarus came out, and Jesus said, loose him. They had to take the grave clothes off of him, right, that they had wound his body in. And the Bible records that the Pharisees, as they were contemplating how can we kill Jesus, they were talking about how can we kill Lazarus too, after he was resurrected. I'm just saying, just man's heart truly is what God says, desperately wicked, who can know it? Why did God destroy the earth during Noah's day with a global flood? Because the Bible records man's heart was wicked continually. The imagination of the heart was just wicked continually, and it continues. But praise the Lord for those who come to know Christ as their Savior, and their eyes are opened. They're enlightened to the truth, right? And we're spared the wrath of God. We're spared these things, these judgments, under the six seals. The seventh seal just ushers in the seven trumpets, and the seventh trumpet, you'll see the vials after that. But again, we're spared all of this because you and I have been saved by grace, been saved by the blood of the Lamb. Now, when you look at verse number 6, all right, so the prayers of the saints basically are cast upon this earth. It is God that is bringing judgment because he didn't forget the prayers of his people. He did not forget that he is a righteous judge, and a righteous judge, he gives space to repent. Gives space to repent, but eventually judgment comes. In verse 6, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. You can almost envision. We don't know what the angels look like. They don't have wings. Only some of the what's called the four beasts, they have wings, right? They have three sets of wings, cover their face, cover their body, cover their feet, the Bible talks about. But angels like Gabriel, Michael, they don't have wings, all right? But these seven angels, they prepare themselves. They get in their line, and they're ready. They're ready when they're told to sound the trumpet, all right? So they are preparing for the trumpet sound. Now, verse 7, the first angel sounded. So here's the first trumpet. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Again, just continue to keep in mind, these are global judgments. It's not just on one nation, but around the world, all right? So the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. Now, it's kind of strange. What is hail? When hail falls from the sky and you go out in your yard, what is that? It's ice. So ice and fire, they don't mix. Fire melts the ice. But it says hail and fire mingled with blood. What could that be? It's very strange. But hail doesn't necessarily just have to be ice. When you say hail, we know it's round balls coming from the sky. I want you, and we're not going to be able to move past this one, but look at Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, verses 24 to 25. Because it's just possible. Again, the word hail, when we speak about hail fall from sky, we think of the little ice balls You know, they vary in sizes at different times, all right? But in Genesis chapter 19, it's the history of Sodom and Gomorrah is recorded about their destruction. Remember, God rained, as the Bible says, fire and brimstone. Genesis 19, verse 24, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, rained, well, if I say it's raining outside, what are you thinking? Well, there's water coming from the sky, right? Okay, but the word rain just means it's coming down. So, yeah, so you think the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, and this is what he rained, this is what came down, brimstone and fire. So, I mean, when you say something rains, just we know it's coming from the sky and it's coming down, okay? But again, in our day, when we think of, oh, yesterday it rained, well, we think water came down and, all right. But again, when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, it rained fire and brimstone. Fire and brimstone. Well, what is that? Brimstone is pure sulfur. There is an archaeologist by the name of Ron Wyatt who had gone, and he believes that he had, and I got to get this video for you. I had it when I was in Wisconsin, and I left it. I don't know why I left it, but he video documents finding what is to believe to be the ruins of Sodom and Gomorrah. And as he surveyed the property, the place, you just saw what looked like could have been buildings. But it's just all dirt and ash now. But what he found were these little balls everywhere, embedded into stone and stuff. And he took some of those out and had it analyzed, and those little balls actually came back as pure sulfur. So guess what? Pure sulfur burns. He cut one open and he lit it with a lighter and it would burn, and it would burn for a while. So you think about fire. Can you imagine the day that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and all of this raining down upon the people of Sodom and Gomorrah because God was judging them and just the destruction. Now, when you just think about that and you think about what's being said back in Revelation 8, this first trumpet judgment that God says the first angel sounded and there followed hell and fire mingled with blood. Now, mingled with blood, there's no way to explain that other than maybe mingled with blood because people are dying. All right. I don't know if there's actual blood coming down from the sky as well, but anything's possible, right? Because there's nothing impossible with God. But again, when you try just to imagine, well, what could this be? It could be that. It could be some type of sulfur ball that's burning, that's coming down. All right, we're not sure. Again, these are all really just guesses because God doesn't reveal exactly what it is. But then when you think about man trying to mess with nature, what God created, seeding the clouds to control the weather, could be very well the chemicals that they're spraying into the clouds and stuff are going to have some type of effect because, again, man cannot change what God did, but man messes up what God does. Again, with transgenderism, you're messing up a person trying to change them from a man to a woman and a woman to a man. You're messing with biology that God created, all right? And there's going to be devastation with it. So when you think about this first judgment, it could be a result of what man's trying to do now, control the weather and all the chemicals and stuff that man's putting up in the atmosphere, right? God uses to judge man with, all right? Again, regardless of what it is that's raining down from heaven, again, it is a judgment from God. The Bible says that when this angel sounds the first trumpet, this is what happens. And here's the judgment. Here's the result of this, the hell and fire mingled with blood coming down from the Lord. They were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up. Not just the third part of trees in California or Washington, where they're constantly having forest fires, or any other place, but a third part of the trees of the world. And not just that, but all grass globally is burned up. That's what God is saying. We can't imagine that. But what happens if all grass is burned up? Well, that means the soil, the ground is being affected, which means what? People can't grow anything. Something has affected the ground, burnt it up, and sulfur's a pretty good candidate for that. Pure sulfur is a pretty good candidate for that. Again, whatever it is, God causes one-third of all trees to burn up on this globe and all grass. Got to stop right there. I mean, it's already 11, but just think about this. Why would God cause judgments like this? Where God's going to burn up a third of the trees, all grass, and we keep reading, and the waters of this world become contaminated. And it keeps on. A third of sea creatures die. A third of the ships that are in the oceans are destroyed. All the things that God's doing, why? What is it that man worships right now? Huh? Besides money, Mother Earth. There is no Mother Earth. God the Father created the earth. But man worships nature, worships the earth. Who did God judge in Egypt? With his plagues, he was judging the gods that the Egyptians were worshiping. So these judgments that you're going to read and continue as we continue reading, it's judgments upon this earth that man worships. Because guess what? As they believe, you know, we evolved from this earth, and they believe Mother Earth and they worship Mother Earth. You realize some of our politicians are Wiccans and warlocks in this country? And they worship the earth. Guess what? Mother Earth's not going to help them when God the Father is judging. Just like the gods of Egypt couldn't help the Egyptians when God was judging, because there's only one true living God. I mean, just God is a righteous God. He's a righteous judge. And we're on the winning side. I believe we're living in exciting times. Can be scary times if you think about, but again, God's not giving us a spirit of fear. It just helps us to see that, you know what, we're getting closer to the return of Christ, because Jesus said when he returns, he's going to return just like in the days of Noah, he's going to return. Well, in the days of Noah, they were pretty wicked. How wicked were they? How advanced were they? What was going on? It was to the point that God said, okay, Noah, get in the ark. And here came judgment. And the Lord, when he raptures out the church, judgment starts. And it starts with the Antichrist coming onto the scene. And just keeps going. Again, you know, we'll be in Revelation for a while. I mean, if the Lord tarries, we'll finish the book of Revelation. If he doesn't, I'll leave it for somebody else to finish it. All right? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for your goodness this morning. And thank you, Father, for just the truth that we can glean from your word. Father, I do ask that you would just continue to help us just to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, that, again, that I don't try to say something that's not factual. Really, Lord, we're not here during this time. We can kind of maybe guess, maybe see how something, looks like, seems like something else. But, Lord, in the end, Father, you're in control, and we do thank you that Jesus Christ has redeemed us by his precious blood. That, Father, we have not been given over to wrath, but we've been saved through the blood of Christ. But, Lord, as we continue to just study your word and to be good stewards of the word of God and disciples of Christ, just ask that you would help us to glean the truths and the promises that we need from your word. Father, would you continue to bless our time? For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.